I am going to present some sort of a futuristic scenario, which is to me a very scary thing, but at the same time one doesn't want to really talk of doomsday syndrome, but tries to see what needs to be done. We talk of the global village, but what is this global village? We have 78% of the people in the developing countries, with just around 55% of the area contributing to less than 16% of the global GDP. If you take Asia-Pacific, 60% of the world's population is in the Asia-Pacific, and they contribute just under 10% of the GDP. And if you look at the communication infrastructure, it varies between something like 1.7 telephones per 100 in Asia-Pacific to just one telephone per 100 in African countries. While the problem is already so severe, what's happening with the population of the, and this is the best projection from the World Bank, and by 2050 you will have 5.6 billion people in the Asian continent alone. And in the developing countries, you will have totally something like 9 billion. The population in the developed countries would have almost reached this stability point of 1.5 billion to 1.6 billion. So almost doubling of the population in the developing countries. Now, what we will have to see is how is the technology changing and how these people can essentially hope to provide basic food, health, and economic security to the people. Certainly in terms of technologies, we have convergence of computers with communication, resulting in the information revolution. One is talking of the global information infrastructure. Computer telephony is on its way. VSATs have already come into existence, even though there's only about 6% of the VSATs in the entire Asian continent, out of the something like 300,000 VSATs in the world. 87% are in the North American region. Comparative advantage has shifted to nations. Dr. Deutsch talked of the 50% agriculture. In fact, they have shifted to nations which can instantly access data and information. And because of the large developing population and the availability of limited land of just around 0.1 hectares per capita, people have to move from agriculture. The shift from agriculture to service and industry has to take place. There is no way out. And that's also part of the reason of the large-scale urbanization, which West went through 50 years ago. Now the developing countries are going through. The multimedia services, VSATs, personal and mobile communication networks, broad-based systems, talked of narrowband systems as well as broad-based systems, establish human connectivity across the globe. Internet has become the window to the commercial world. In fact, it is expected that almost 80% of the tenders will be on internet in the next 5 to 10 years. And high-resolution remote sensing data to open up new vistas. Now, in terms of prospects, certainly there is a tremendous amount of prospects. The fact that the development is so poor, and as you can see here, even by 2020, the predicted number of VSATs in India is going to be something like 500,000, Latin America 500,000, Africa is 200,000, Asia is 1 million, and because the population is also increasing, everywhere you find the growth is going to be tremendous. Even if the total density of the telephones is going to increase from 1.7 per 100 to something like 10 per 100, the number of telephones that will be added in a country like India alone would be more than the entire West. Therefore, you have tremendous possibilities. And but in the field of food security, and is something which is even more scary, but at the same time, I think we have solutions being available. It looks as if that even if we assume that the growth rate, which is in the last decade just about 2% per year, will continue, we are going to have in the developing countries a shortfall of over 500 million tons. In other words, we can essentially, in terms of if you look at the carrying capacity, I hope this can come out. As you can see that if the developing countries were to follow the American lifestyle, even today, we can't support half the population. And if you look at by what happens by 2020 and 2050, you see there is a large gap. Almost 1.5 billion people will have to stop unless the food position or the agricultural position is improved. Now, we know that as far as land availability is concerned, it is very limited. In fact, if you take the statistics over the last two decades, the amount of increased agricultural cropland has been only about 2% in 10 years. That's less than 0.2% per year. It has to come from the increased productivity. The question is, can we increase the productivity, and what type of productivity requirements have to be met if one has to provide basic food security? And this has to be on a sustainable basis if we have to ensure environmental security. So we're talking of to produce the required food to the developing countries. We're talking of something like the productivity increasing, which is as of now about something like 2.4 tons per hectare to 5.3 tons per hectare. In Asia, it will be 5.3 tons per hectare. In Latin America, what will be required is about 4 tons per hectare, almost double of what the present productivity is. And in Africa, it's about 5.5 tons per hectare. And that's the minimum productivity we must achieve if we have to provide food security to all the people in these continents. And this has to be done on a sustainable basis. Now, the question is that whether we can do it. And we have been, in India, carrying out experiments on sustainable integrated development strategies. We started with 6 districts and now has extended to almost 1/3 of the country, in which we provide all the inputs, use all the inputs from the space remote sensing on soil, on underground water resources, the surface water resources, the agricultural crop production, land usage, and so on, and then combine it with biotechnological inputs so that we can come up with soil-specific, locale-specific prescriptions. And one must make sure that in this process, the monitoring continues, so that space provides not only monitoring to give the initial prescription, but the continuous monitoring also allows you to essentially find out what is happening to the environment so that you can ensure the sustainability. If there is a problem in between, you can certainly go back and change your prescription. In fact, the earlier Green Revolution, this was a major problem, where one did not have the type of monitoring. The result was the so-called Green Revolution, the negative repercussions of it, in fact, is responsible for almost the degradation of 1.2 billion hectares in the world today. We did it on a large scale, and this is from over 1 million hectares of land and from one particular state. And for the last something like 8 years, the Sustainable Integrated Development Strategy has been going on. And you can see here that in terms of the agricultural area, there is almost an increase of something like 50%. Irrigated area agricultural area is only about something like 10-15%, but irrigated area has gone up by 50%. Forest area has gone up by around 50%. Surface water has gone up almost by 10%. And this is on a sustainable basis. Every year it's increasing. And this is not a statistic taken from one watershed or two watersheds, but taken from a large number of watersheds, something like 20 watersheds in a particular state, covering an area of more than 1 million hectares. And this essentially gives us the possibility of using space along with biotechnological inputs to double the food productivity, so that, and also to make sure that sustainability is maintained. And I hope that this is that I have given the message that the only way we can provide food, economic, and the environmental security to the large population increase is going to be seen in these developing countries in the next 50 years before they get stabilized and before the birth rate comes down to less than 20 per thousand. The only way is to use space technology in the most optimal fashion. Thank you.